Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Good evening. Tonight I'll be reading to you from Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem, in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room. Nearby shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of heavenly forces was with the angels praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven and on earth. Peace among all those whom he favors." May the Lord add the blessing to these words.
Amen. Would you help me thank all of our musicians, all of our technical staff, all of our ushers, all of our greeters, everyone who's helped put this night together and made it such a wonderful night. Help me thank them, would you please? Want to make sure that you also remember to join us next week as we celebrate Reverend Katie, as she will preach, and we have an honoring celebration of her last Sunday with us. Would you do me a favor? Pray with me. God, it's your servant who stands behind the sacred desk with the same solemn prayer as always. Do something. Do something with me, through me, above, beneath, betwixt, between, above, beyond, but most of all, Father, do something in spite of me, to feed the faith to the flock of God, to starve doubts, to charm fears. Now take the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and make them acceptable in thine sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Emma and Autumn and Taylor send their greetings. They are actually in service tonight, not in worship, but in serving people in the city of Mobile, Alabama. We will see each other in the next couple of days. I'm going to try to, pray for me, drive to Atlanta after second service and spend the night with my, well, the morning with my sister and my mother. So I pray for you all. If I don't get to see you all after second service, because I'll be flying out of here. A Merry Christmas. We've talked a lot about this city, Bethlehem. Over the last month, we've talked a ton about this city. We've told you that it's the place of bells and boxes. We just did that last week. We talked about the reality that it's the place of Bedlam. We talked about the place of blessings. Oh, we've talked a lot about it. And this, just this morning, we talked about the fact that it's the place of the house of bread. But tonight, we can't miss it. We can't ignore it, and we should not depart from the focus of it. For on this night, as it says in Luke 2, in the city of David, a Savior is born, and his name is Christ the Lord. Let's talk about this city, Bethlehem, and the reality that it is the place of his birth. For those of you who have not traveled with us in this series, let me give you a refresher course very quickly. If you're looking for some notes, you can do that. There's some information in the bulletin. I hope to give you something noteworthy to consider. Let me start with this. That the reality is that some 2,000 plus years ago, even before it was known as this place of birth, which we now have as our landmark for our Lord, it was called something else. Some of you remember that historically we know from Samuel 1 and 2 that Bethlehem was gone from the place of Judea, which is a region of that area, to a place called Zebulun. And Zebulun meant, unfortunately, burial. The place where they took soldiers and others who fought difficult and hard-fought wars, and when they needed to be marked from memory, they were placed in that region so that we would ever know that they had served well God's people. For years, decades, some would suggest, according to Josephus and some others, that for almost two centuries, this city known as Zebulun was the place which was most marked. This little small city in the region of Zebulun was known because Bethlehem would mark for them the place where people who had died vigorously and valiantly would be buried. And the same people from that region traveled along with the fledgling flock of those who escaped from that other region to this place called Judea, which is now known as the place of praise and honor. And they wanted to rename the city that they had come from because they did not want to be associated with the difficulty of life. Have you ever not wanted to be associated with the difficulty you've been through, but wanted to find a new way to be associated with the destiny you had been called into? Let's not forget, these people who were also from the place of Egypt were also from the place of Israel. All these people had gathered together, and all of their grafting of history had been found in one wrapped up region called Israel, the people called out by God. And for some 2,000 plus years, the history of the text teaches us very clearly and very adamantly that these persons were looking, seeking, desperately trying to find their destiny. Have you ever been so desperate that you would wait and you would wait until some answer came, even an answer that sometimes did not make sense to you? And so, without going too far in the text, for I have little time to do all of that, I want you to know that at some point, these fledgling flock of faithful people sought out a region about 5 miles out the side of the city of Jerusalem and about 100 meters high at the highest peak of what we now know to be Jerusalem. And they developed this city called Bethlehem. If you had been there this morning, you would know that it has the highest per capita area of places for bakeries because it was a place in which people went to go glean food. But on this night, this precious night, a common people with a common goal had been sent by God for extraordinary reasons into an extraordinary moment called the birth of Christ. And the text teaches us that this common woman named Mary with this common man named Joseph found themselves in the common region of Bethlehem. Verse 3 says, and everyone went to his own town to register. Now, what you got to know about that is, for Joseph, he had gone back to the city in which he had been developed in, which his whole lineage had come out of. In fact, what we know about this land is that not only Joseph was from here, but Ruth was from here, and it is known for the city of David because David was from here, and yes, also Ruth, and yes, also, even according to some historians, some of the old arch legacy faithful of the first 5 books of the Bible. Small region, but powerful place. And so he goes to return so that he can be charged with the proper taxes according to Caesar Augustus. And what we discover is almost overwhelming. Look at verse 4 with me very quickly. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married with him and was expecting a child. I want to make a bold pronouncement to you this night, that the city of Bethlehem was transformed from the place of burial to the place of birth because we, 2,000 years later, would be known as a people who are granted promise and power. Some 2,000 plus years ago, the whole point and purpose for Christ coming on this blessed common night was that we would no longer be a people of ordinary stature without the incapacity to change and transform and transfix our destiny, but be seen and grafted into the grace of Christ our Lord in such a way that by the coming of this common Savior, who was known as Jesus, somehow, in spite of and because of us, God would wrestle with us in the wondrous grace of his mercy and transform our realities into a destiny that we dare dream possible. And on this night, I come to tell you this night that Jesus wanted to change the place where people were born from a place where they could not revolve from or evolve from, to a place where they could register their lives for the righteousness of God. There are five things that we discover when we read Luke 2, this historic Christian Christmas text, that Bethlehem is indeed transformed to a place of birth because we are called to live on purpose. We are called to live on purpose. Notice the text says in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In fact, at the end of verse 3, it says that Joseph went and took them so that they could be registered. Friends, tonight you will leave here and have a great time with family and friends. Even tomorrow you will leave and have a great time with family and friends. But after this night, after the birth of Christ, what you will read, if you will read the text, is that after the good moment happened, the gracious moment where they celebrated the birth of Christ, what we are told is King Herod came after him. And I had to tell you something. The world is looking for the Christian faith to come after him. To come after him with love and grace and power and truth and significance. And even in spite of the desperate, difficult days that we're facing, look at the world with such a love that they would be transformed and transfixed and wonder what kind of man it is that you would follow, that you dare have a common goal to see a Christ not only redeemed but lifted high in the earth and say, if I be lifted up, I draw all men and women unto myself. You gotta live on purpose. You gotta serve on purpose. You gotta find some way to lift high the cross and the love and the swaddling clothes of Christ in his salvific way and offer it to others who are desperate in their suffering and say, there's better than this. And if you hear nothing else I say tonight, hear this: there is better than this. We learn also in the text that Bethlehem is transformed in this historic night as Christ is born to us so that we can proclaim that the time had come for the Prince of Peace. Verse 4 through 7. Go home and read the whole text. I won't read it, but I just have to graft a little bit of verse 7. Here it is. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, because there was no room for him in the inn. Jesus is coming so that there'll be room for you and I, even when there's no room in the inn. That is what peace is. It is when the world has gone crazy, upside down, turned itself inside out, and still we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. When you have Christ in the center of your soul, you can say with unflinching reality, I got joy. Point three, Bethlehem is born into a place of birth because in knowing that we have power and promise, We are called to celebrate God's presence and the fulfillment of his promise. Notice verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Please have all the fun you can, but while you're doing that, make sure you celebrate Jesus. Make sure you celebrate salvation. Make sure you celebrate healing. Make sure you celebrate grace. Make sure you celebrate redemption. Make sure you celebrate mercy. Make sure you celebrate his justice and his kindness and his peace. Because the Lord who came did not come just to be noticed for one night. He came to be noticed that all of us every day would acknowledge his power. Point four, naming it the place of birth, naming this city of Bethlehem, this place not only physically, but the place in our heart where Christ claims total control, and control of placement and heart tells us that we ought to praise the Savior. Did you notice in verse 13 that it says suddenly a great company of heaven? A great company of heaven. Today in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, there were over 24,000 persons celebrating the Kansas City Chiefs. Did you know that in Carolina there were over 22,000? Did you know in my poor, forbidden city called Cleveland, Ohio, there were 21,000 who were celebrating a team that didn't win one game? Surely if we can celebrate these teams, we can find a Savior who conquered death and hell, and we can celebrate him this night and give him the praise he is due, because the Lord is good all the time. And on this night, as you grab your children, remind them Christ came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of word. I've got to leave you with this final comment here. The final thing I got to tell you about Jesus as he transforms the place that was once known for burial as a place now for blessing and a place of birth is this, that we do so that we can claim God's peace through Jesus Christ. Lest you miss the text, here it is, verse 14. Gloria de excelsis, or better known to you as Gloria, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, on earth, peace to men. Don't miss it. Who rest in his favor. Can I leave you with this final comment, this final thought of reflection? Even though they tried to take everything that Jesus was worthy of, in the end, because he was God's child, he received everything he was due. Stop looking under the tree for that which you may be seeking. The Savior has already blessed you, already kept you, already nurtured you, and already favored you in such a way that your bitter days will become better days, and your grieving days will become grace-filled days, and your suffering will become success. How do you know that, Troy? Because it says this, that on a holy night, one holy night, that holy night, this Christ came, and when everyone else wanted to do everything else, for a moment, because of his glory, the earth became still because of the birth of a child. Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, we give you thanks for reminding us the power of what happens when promise takes over. So this night, as we acknowledge your coming and your birth, we celebrate your blessing, and we bow before your greatness, and we pause and thank you for this holy night. And we ask your blessings all the more. In Christ's name, God's people said, amen.